Hello, and welcome to Pod Sing Say, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast, where every week we watch an episode of Avatar and discuss it. I'm your host, Nicole, here with my co-hosts, Jen, Steph, and Abby, and this week we will be talking about Book 3, Chapter 13, The Firebending Masters. In this episode, Aang and his brand new firebending Shifu, Zuko, embark on a mission to learn about the original ways of firebending, from before Zuko's ancestors distorted it to be fueled by anger and rage. Their quest takes them through the legends of an Indiana Jones-style booby-trapped hidden temple to discover a hidden and not-so-extinct ancient civilization, carry sacred fire up a mountain, get engulfed in rainbows by actual dragons, and, of course, most importantly, Super Saiyan Fusion Ha. So, in this episode, there's an introduction of, I know, I just left it there. I was like, where do I go from there? Nowhere. In conclusion. So good. That's the episode. But yeah, as happens to me occasionally when we watch this show and prepare for this podcast, there was so much meat to dig into in terms of like historical and real world references in this episode. Because, you know, they're showing this Sun Warrior civilization and the influences that the artists and stuff had there apparently were numerous. I was looking in a couple different places and they were all listing different things that things were resembling or based off of. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try not to be talking too long about this. But...
But it's a lot.
I mean, just in general, some of the, like, the architecture-wise, you know, I saw a lot of things that were saying that they were based on a lot of civilizations from sort of ancient pre-Columbian Mesoamerica, like the Aztec Empire, the Incan Empire, the Mayan Empire, which were all, like, sun worshippers who observed, like, astrological movement and stuff like that. I was also seeing a lot of stuff about individual buildings that were everywhere, like that some of the architecture was based on like Indian Buddhist stupas, which are these mound-like structures that contain relics and they're used as places of meditation. There's kind of based on Tibetan monasteries, which was kind of interesting also because we know the air nomads are heavily influenced by the Tibetan monks. So they have a lot of, you know, architectural, pictorial, landscape art and stuff like that. And then there's like... You know, there are buildings like, I didn't even look at all into all of them. Some that were like the Angkor Wat, which, you know, is like a Buddhist temple, translates to Temple City. Phanom Rung, and by the way, I'm probably mispronouncing everything. Phanom Rung, which is like from the, which is a Hindu thing, like the Khmer Empire temple. It's set, which is a complex set on the rim of an extinct volcano, very Fire Nation-y. You know, we've got like their primary ziggurat in this place apparently closely resembles the Kandisuka in Indonesia, which is a Javanese Hindu temple. Apparently the founder of that one, by the way, it was one of several temples built on the slopes of Mount Lao Yu. And the founder of that temple thought that it was like a sacred place for, you know, worshiping your ancestors and the nature spirits and stuff like that. Also, a fun fact that I wrote down is that reliefs on that temple displayed the feud between, like, aristocratic houses and stuff, sort of symbolizing internal conflicts in the kingdom. And I thought that was interesting. Obviously, in the show, the main relief that Zuko and Aang were looking at was of the firebending masters shooting fire at the person. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was just a lot of repeated symbolism throughout this episode about, you know, everything going on with Zuko's entire storyline accumulating and all that stuff. I literally still have more. I'm like the Sun Warrior Chief's headdress apparently resembled those worn by the Ebon people of Borneo. I don't really know about how much I loved the... That's what I read. I don't know about truth. I don't really know about the symbolism for that one being parallels to the story so much because apparently they were more renowned for, like, you know, practicing headhunting and territorial migration, like a strong and successful warring tribe. And I'm like, that seems wrong.
Yeah, the look of the people reminded me, like, for me, I definitely got, like, heavy Mayan vibes, mm-hmm. and, like, that reminds me of, like, ancient yeah. Mexican people, yeah. like, the indigenous people there, like, especially, like, the face paint on the chief. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, obviously, like... Like, the joke for me is always, like, confirmed, Latinx people are in the Avatar universe.
It is interesting, because I feel like the rest of the show is very clearly, like, Asia, Southeast, yeah. Eastern inspired. And then this episode, it almost feels a little like, huh? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're like,
yeah, oh, it's like they ran out of ideas. And, like, yeah, I agree. Like, hearing Nicole list all of those other things, it's just, like, of course. But, like... I still feel like, yeah, the primary inspiration is definitely, like, the Mayan. So, yeah, mm-hmm. you're kind of just, like, did they run out of, like, Asia? Like, what happened? What's going on, guys? I'm not complaining, but I'm a little confused.
Like, it definitely is, like, I feel like it fits the whole vibe that they were going for, because it definitely was, like, Indiana Jones light. But, like, yeah. It is a little, like, huh, this feels yeah, very separate from... everything else we've seen.
And I guess that's maybe yeah. what they were going for. The other thing, even just, like, talking about this with you guys just now, it made me wonder, like, I know for me, I was always annoyed in my American education system where, like, we really just focused on America and Europe in terms of history. So part of me is also, like, if you had asked, like, younger me to think of, like, what an ancient Asian culture would look like, I feel like I wouldn't know what to picture, where it's like a lot of the stuff there is still, like, the buildings there, a lot of it is preserved, where it's like, I feel like as a kid you do learn about ancient, I use air quotes here because obviously, like, it was genocide and, like, they weren't supposed to be ancient, but, like, you think of, like, South America, like, every kid you learn about, like, the Pueblo villages, and you learn about indigenous people, Native Americans and stuff. So I'm kind of like, is this more to cater to, like, what an American kid would think of when you think of an ancient civilization that's, like, not European based or something? Like, I don't know.
I can see that. Yeah. Where it's kind of like, maybe it would look too similar to the rest of what's in the show.
Yeah. Because it's like ancient Japan is, like, and ancient China are literally, like, Ba Sing Se, and, like, it's like their ancient stuff still exists, I guess, in a lot of ways. I don't know.
It's ancient, but it's not extinct.
Yeah.
They spent so much time building the other worlds based off of other ancient civilizations, so why can't you do that much more research for this one episode, which is a lost civilization? Mm. If you're already researching this anyway. And then adding in and incorporating the elements of Southeast Asia, where I did see evidence of that, once they're inside the temple. So there was clearly inspiration there, but I don't understand why. Especially Angkor Wat. It's like, for Angkor Wat, I think the V is a W. Or, I don't know. But, like, why couldn't you take Cambodia and Laos and that whole region of the world to draw inspiration that way? Because it's, like, just as elaborate and intricate and ancient as Mayans existed and the rest of the Aztecs. So it was out
that's
of kind of,
yeah, that's how I felt about it. I was like, it looks cool. Like, I'm not hating on it, but, like, but why, you know?
Yeah, it's like, it's just like a kind of a neutral, curious, like, but why?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, I'm trying to, I can't even remember where, like, Indiana Jones took place, where I'm like, was that in South America or was he in Asia? Where it's like, it's one thing if they just leaned into their childhoods of, like, Indiana Jones. But I'm like, I can't even remember.
I feel
it
like he
matter.
Was in, like, different places.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this, like, the, obviously, like, this main thing was, like, the temple.
Yeah, with the, like
that iconic scene, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
I don't even remember.
It gives me South
America. Yeah, like, when I'm visualizing it, it has that same look, that same vibe.
Mm. Y'all know, say.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Sokka was a fucking dick in this episode. I was like, what the fuck is your problem?
He was, but I loved it, to be honest.
The whole episode.
Oh my gosh.
I agree, but I also was like, it's probably justified.
Yeah. It's like Sokka's version of banter.
He's like, no, it's like, he's like hazing him.
Yeah.
Which, like, I completely disagree with that whole, like, idea, that whole concept of hazing, but I also, I'm like, they at least have a reason to, like, treat this guy like a dick.
Yes.
But, like, Aang was part of it too.
That's true.
So it's kind of just like, but Aang is there. If it was, it's fine if it was just Zuko, but it's Aang is the.
It's fine if it means to Zuko, but how dare you insult Aang?
Yo, for real. I feel like Sokka's just, like, pre-guarding himself so that if, like, Zuko does end up, like, turning on them, he can be like, well, I told you so. Like, I doubted this from the start. Like, he's just covering his own ass.
Oh my god.
Yo,
jerk bending, like, ew.
I liked how he was, like, laughing at his own jokes. He's like, as he walks away, still got it.
Got it. dick.
Can I mention that hilariously, my mom, who knows basically nothing about Avatar and doesn't even know that firebending has been previously said to be fueled by emotion, she happened to walk in around that time when, you know, Sokka's heckling them and Zuko starts yelling at him. And she was like, oh, I was expecting it to really work just then for the fire to flare up because he was angry. I was like,
good instincts.
Good instincts. Not the point of the episode, so.
Yeah, the anti-point of the episode.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, man. I did really like that they, like, covered this as, like, a topic, though. Like, like it's always fun to see that. And, like, see, like, you know, it wasn't just Zuko having to teach Aang. I feel like we already kind of got that, like, Aang clashing with, like, a very different personality with Toph. So it was nice that they took it in a different direction. That, like, built Zuko's character that much more, too, obviously.
Yeah.
And, like, it is fun because it's, like, yeah, it's, like, they've previously established that, like, firebending comes from emotion and, like, Zuko's is always, like, angry. I don't know. I feel like, for me, it's always interesting seeing how things, how, like, shows and stuff portray, like, anger and rage. Because I know for me, like, one of the big things that's really helped me, like, recontextualize, like, the anger that I have and that has, like, been building the last 5 years, you know, being an American. Before that too, but you know, just something magical just, you know, happened to this country a couple years ago that just really made everything fucking awful. And like, for me, it's like, you know, something that helped me was like my therapist really helped me start to understand, like, I'm, you know, it's like you're angry because you care about stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously there's like good anger and bad anger. And like Zuko's was obviously like not the best kind. It wasn't productive. It wasn't, it didn't come from a good place. It was due to like trauma and whatnot. So it was interesting to see how they explored that a little bit and how he like didn't want to derive it from hate and anger. And he had to derive it from the original source and, you know, try to figure it out. And like, for me, I was a little bit like, Zuko, you can still have anger and rage, like, but it's like source is different now. Like, you're angry at the injustice. You're angry that this has gone on. You're angry that you were a part of it. So part of me is just like, don't let go of your anger. Like, it's a healthy emotion, just like all the other ones. You just need to, like, understand it better.
I feel like it's kind of, like, you can still use that, like, anger and those, like, feelings to fuel it in a way, but it can't be, like, the only source.
Yeah.
Where, like, so far, I guess his whole life, it was always, like, that kind of base to everything that he did. So now it's kind of like you can still augment it with those things, because even he said like, oh, it was my drive to catch you, but now I have another drive. So it's like he still has like those motivations. It's just the like direction changed.
Yeah, and he's like more righteous now.
Right. Yeah, and now he knows like, oh, it doesn't have to be this all the time. Like, there is a son inside of him. Do you guys realize this?
We love to see it.
Yeah,
I love that. That the guy who played him was so funny. The Sun Chief.
Oh my god! Yeah,
yeah. That's why we're called this.
Yeah, we are literally called the Sun Warriors. You've been here for 5 minutes.
Like, it's like this young upstart trying to tell us about our own fucking jobs.
The guy's just like, "Is this what mansplaining is?" That word didn't even exist
goddamn
when this episode came out.
Teen-splaining is a real thing. I have encountered it before, and it's annoying as hell.
Teen-splaining.
Yes.
I believe you.
Yes. These goddamn children come up to me, and they think they know everything about everything that I've been doing for years. Mm-hmm. And they're telling me, oh, let me show you how to wash paintbrushes. I'm like, get the fuck out.
Nicole's making friends at her job.
Anyway.
Oh, man. No, I really, I don't know. I just like this episode. I like all, like, the Iroh being a good guy all those years ago. Like, you know, he was always, like, a solid guy.
Oh, my gosh. Like, fun fact about the whole dragon thing, because, you know, when I just thought of it when you were saying that just now, because Aang was all like, I thought your uncle was, you know, good, like, when Zuko's like, yeah, he got the name of the Great Dragon of the West because you hunted and killed the dragons, and when you did that, you got the title Dragon because it shows that you're so powerful and awesome. And apparently, in early China, which I know is extremely vague and covers a large period of time, but, you know, I was looking up stuff about dragons, and I mean, it started with me looking up stuff about the dragon dance and the influences mm-hmm. from the actual martial art, which I guess we'll talk about when we get to that part. But, you know, Taoist and Shaolin Buddhist and stuff like that. Apparently in early China, certain old men were called dragons, and they were, in contrast to the way it is stated by Zuko in the Fire Nation recent history, it's the old men were called dragons because they were well-versed in life-supporting skills of things like herbal medicine, agriculture, and kung fu. But the kung fu, like, in a good way, like what Top said, of relating to the world instead of being about fighting.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is, like, there's just a strong contrast between, like, non-toxic and toxic masculinity of, like, how the word has, like, devolved into, like, this macho machismo, like, I have to murder the thing to be respected, where it's just like, I don't understand that. I will never understand something like that, where it's just like, if it's not like that history was lost to them. Like, they knew the dragon was the original bender. So, like, why, how, like, warped did your culture become that the perspective was, I'm gonna kill the thing? Like,
yeah.
It's not even like they kill it and then they, like, absorb its fire, or, like, you know, it's literally just a title.
It's like, literally just like, I am stronger than the yeah. original. That's how awesome I am.
I don't understand, like, this type of pride. Like,
no. It's also just, like, the arrogance.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's the general, like, theme of the Fire Nation. Is this just, like, the arrogance is what
the
caused...
The audacity. Yeah.
Right? And, of course, it's no coincidence that the time that Zuko doesn't get eaten and killed by the dragons is when he is finally here showing humility.
Yes.
I was having a lot of flashbacks to Bitter Work in this episode, like how Uncle was trying to tell him, you need to not be all, like, about all this anger and hastiness. You need to show humility, and that's the greatest strength. And I was, like, laughing at him because I was like, Zuko, humility.
Yeah. And then, like, Aang, obviously such, like, a perfect character for that, too, because it's, like, Aang is such the atypical, you know, protagonist. He is this, like, gentle, person, to the point where, like, yeah, Zuko even is just, like, you're too timid, like, but, you know, in a way that obviously, like, the point of it is, like, they kind of need to meet each other in the middle, and, like, literally they do meet each other in the middle.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, so, like, it's really nice to see that, because, like, you know, Zuko's meant it, obviously, constructively. He's just, like, you know, trust yourself, like, you're a smart kid, you're strong, and it's so nice, because I'm like, yay, now I like Zuko!
So naturally fell into the positive reinforcement that we learned in Bitter Work
it.
Was Aang's best way of learning.
So good. Oh, I'm like, God. He's a good guy now. Now I love him. I'm very shallow.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I feel like Aang and Zuko have a lot of, like, parallels in their storyline. And it kind of, like, all comes to a head in this episode. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like the culmination of that, where now they're just like, we're here. We're together. Like, you know, finally, you know, because they were just, like, so opposed the whole time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like they keep on pointing out their differences in this episode, even. Just little things like how Aang is all like, optimism, and Zuko's like groaning and banging his head on Appa's saddle. Or like,
yeah.
Things like the very obvious one where the Sun Warrior was handing them the flames. And he was like, camera, focus on Aang. You can't be too timid or your fire will be too small and go out. And then, like, focus on Zuko, who has anger management issues. Like, you can't give it too much because you might lose control. Like, you know, things like that.
Okay, I just appreciated that, like, even though Zuko's, like, good now, he still is, like, grumpy and dramatic.
Oh my God, he is. I was like, Zuko, you're still such an angry boy.
Yeah.
Doesn't just go away, guys.
He kept groaning every time. He would, like, go along with things I wanted him to do, but he would groan and slump while he did it. And I was like, you bitch.
Oh my God. And then he had, again, the word. He had the audacity to complain about Appa.
Oh my God.
And
I know.
Like,
I wrote it down.
He
I was
literally,
like, Zuko,
what do you think you are?
Hold your tongue.
He called Appa this thing.
Yeah. I was like, one, that's fucking rude. And then he's like, I imagined it would go faster. And it's like, just because you sucked at keeping up with Appa. And also, like, then they immediately literally they cut to like a down shot and Appa's going so fucking fast. I'm like, Zuko, this is literally like the fastest form of transportation in your world. And you're still like a whiny bitch about it.
Even Appa was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, Appa was like, yeah, fuck you.
I was like, Zuko just shot to my anti-MVP of the episode.
Oh god.
Yeah, Appa was just like, bitch, for I like insulting stuck Appa. Up for you. Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't even so be funny. Here right now.
Also, Zuko, on like, you know, kind of a darker note, guess what? Like, you guys are all, oh, we can't learn from the dragons because the Fire Nation killed them all. Guess what other original benders the Fire Nation killed all of, huh, Zuko? It's the goddamn bison, oh you bitch.
Also, like, arguably the fish too. Or like, I mean, I guess it's the moon, but still.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, just a like... Fire Nation man did kill the moon spirit.
Yeah.
Watch out, badger moles, you're next.
Oh no!
Like, honestly. I was like, one of my notes in this episode was just like, wow, Sozin's really good at the genocide. Because like, yeah. The fire, you know, the sun, ancient sun warriors obviously like hid away. And then the dragons, yeah. And then I was like, yeah, the air bison. And then like the moon. And I was just
you
like,
know, sometimes you just find something you're really good at.
I guess, and follow
you
your passion.
Have to commit to it.
Although it was implied that the Sun Warriors went into hiding, like, long before even Sozin came to power. And I'm like, I wonder why?
Yeah, they said it was, like, thousands of years even before Aang was born.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was interesting. Yeah, I was wondering that. And, like, some of the stuff, I'm not gonna get into it, and I'm not, like, I don't care enough. But it was, like, some of the stuff, like, kind of contradicted a little bit of the stuff that they set up in the future with Avatar Wan in Korra, like the first Avatar.
Mm.
And like there was stuff where I was like, but wait, like this happened. And I was like, I don't care enough. Like, it's fine. But yeah, but it was like some of the stuff was like a little confusing. And then also I was like, Zuko, I guess like spoiler for Korra, but like Zuko has a dragon in Korra. Yeah. And I'm like, I guess, is this dragon like Shaw and Rand's?
Oh yeah,
like,
Ran and Shaw. Like, which yeah. killed me, by
I'm
the
like,
way.
Was it in the... The golden egg.
Oh, maybe.
Honestly, yeah. I was thinking
Zuko
that.
Zuko did say it feels alive, you know?
I was like, you just true. Picked up a dragon egg.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
That's like, so true. Yeah. I bet you that's his, like, future buddy.
Yeah, like, maybe they were, like, holding on to it until it was, like, safe for there to be more dragons or something.
Mm. Oh, Zuzu.
Yeah. That's cute. I like that.
I was a little bit traumatized by seeing the dragons because the last thing with dragons that I watched was Raya and the Last Dragon. And I'm like, no. This is a no for me, dog.
At least these, like, looked like dragons.
What I was offended by was the fact that these dragons had wings. And I was like, why do they have wings? I'm offended.
Yeah, I was a little like, you chickened out, Western creators. You chickened out.
We went over this back in season one.
Yeah, we did.
We had a whole discussion.
But still.
Yeah, it is true.
They definitely committed more than the Raya people, where it's in Raya they tried to, like, yeah, they made it, like, furry and cutesier and whatever. But this one, yeah, it was like, they got it, but the, like, the wings were, like, so unnecessary.
So close. Just one step further.
So funny.
Yeah. These two were, like, properly, like, scary and, like, oh, badass looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked that whole scene when they came out.
You mean when Aang's fire went out and then he and Zuko started wrestling because Zuko was being a stingy bitch? Like, it wasn't even that he was like, no, because it's a lie if you take some of my fire, you didn't complete it. He was like, go get some of their fire down the stairs. Like, meaning that it's entirely about not wanting Aang to take some of his fire, which, like, defeats the purpose, because if you had shared, that probably would have actually, you know, helped add to their estimation of your character.
I mean, they ended up not really caring about the fire.
It's true.
Because neither of them had it. That's not, like, the point, I guess. But, yeah, Zuko was not being very friendly in that moment.
I saw something recently that talked about how in a lot of, like, American adaptations of, like, Chinese culture, there's, like, you put dragons everywhere. Like, all the buildings have dragons on the pillars and dragons in the architecture. And they were saying how, like, in China, you actually, like, don't really see dragons anywhere because the dragons are reserved for, like, the royal family. So, like, you only see dragons, like, in architecture and decoration and stuff when you're dealing with, like, a palace kind of thing. So, like, they were like, that's how you know, like, it's, like, fake stuff. Like, I watched this video, too, about, like, the history of, like, Chinatowns in, like, the U.S. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's, you know, where it's, like, those are, like, you know, like, an interpretation of the architecture there, too. And that's partly where a lot of that started, where it's, like, a lot of films will take from, like, Chinatown and stuff. And it's kind of just, like, the way that the perception versus reality has, like, warped over the years. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I thought that was interesting, because obviously, like, with Zuko, like, I remember, like, for a moment, he, like, was like, you know, he's like, I'm the Prince of the Fire Nation, and I was like, I don't know if you want to tell them yeah, that, like,
I, you
know,
for a second thought this was going to be, like, another Zuko Alone, like, 2.0, where he was just like, yeah. It was like, okay, listen, I'm the Avatar, we're here about peace, and Zuko's like, I'm Zuko, Prince of the Fire Nation, like...
Yeah, I was just like, is that, that's how you want to lead? But then obviously, like, he spun it in a very...
Descendant of the people who killed all of
yeah. them. Yeah, and, like, he was very humble about it. He led that conversation with humility, which, again, is what we've been talking mm-hmm. about.
Yeah. What were you saying, Steph? Time, Zuko.
I like that Aang was like, I don't normally play this card, but I'm the Avatar. And I'm like, you don't?
Yeah, that was funny.
You don't bring it up? Because everyone else is playing it for him.
The Avatar extras at that point was like, truth. Aang plays that card all the time. That was like...
Yeah.
He doesn't, though. Fucking Katara does.
Well, she does more. I was like, I kind of want to go through and see, like, who brings it up the most. But I did see someone on Reddit linked a YouTube video that was, like, literally every time that Aang, like, plays the Avatar really? Card. Like, every time he admits to someone.
That's so funny.
It was, like, 14 times, I think, was the total tally.
Between him and, I feel like, yeah, my bet would have been on the Water Tribe siblings, would have been on Katara yeah. and Sokka constantly outing him.
So, in that video.
Us getting mad at them.
I know. Yeah. They do it too much. In that video, one of them was Sokka being like, my friend is the Avatar, when they were in Wan Chitong's library. And then Aang was like, I am the Avatar. You know, like, and some of them were just him, like, admitting it. But he did use it a few times.
Yeah.
He's not entirely innocent.
No. I mean, that was literally, like, the second or third episode, Kyoshi Island, where he's just, like,
yeah.
picking up girls because they all know he's the Avatar. I'm like, that yes. counts. That's, like...
I'm trying to think, like, there's just, like, a lot.
Yeah, there is a lot.
I'm laughing at him calling Zuko Sifu Hotman.
Oh, yes. He's been there, like, one day. He already has nicknames. Aang really was ready to just, like, be friends.
Yeah.
And they were, like, they were very cute, I think. You know, we talked about how they, like... bickered at the top of the mountain mm-hmm. and whatever, but then also I don't know, just like their whole interactions.
Zuko, come yeah. here, I want you to dance with me.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, Zuko, I don't care what everybody else says, I think you're smart. Like,
that is one of the lines that I have remembered all these years from the first time I watched yeah. this, even though it's something people say like all the time. I think Avatar might have mm-hmm. been the first time I heard it and I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever yeah. heard.
Yeah, and yeah. It, like, it's made even better by Zuko's, like, stupid little, like, satisfied smile 5 seconds before he gets the, like, insult part of that statement.
Yeah.
Oh my god. And just, like, even little things, like, when they're at the bottom of the stairs heading up, and they're just, like, they're cute little conversations where Aang's like, maybe we can turn back now, right? Like, hopeful grin.
Yeah. Oh my god, and then when they got trapped in the slime.
Oh my mm-hmm. gosh, yes.
Yeah, what were you saying?
Oh no, I was gonna say, and obviously that also is part of the whole, like, the theme of showing Zuko and Aang's differences, because Aang is like, well, maybe we can turn back, and Zuko's like, no, we're seeing this through. And even then following yeah. it up with, like, we can totally take them while having no idea what they're about to face and also being completely outclassed. I was like, wow, what yeah. a glimpse at their personalities. Aang wants to run away, and Zuko wants to charge forward, being not prepared at all. Like...
Yeah, I mean, in that moment, I don't blame Zuko, because he's, like, they're gonna be, like, probably elders of the tribe, and yes, he's underestimating an elder, where it's, like, we've seen from characters like Bumi, and mm-hmm. Iroh, and, like, all these, you know, where it's, like, don't do that, but, like, that would be, like, the dumb thing Zuko did, but then, like, I can't blame him for not expecting
I know, dragons. Right, of course he didn't expect to be dragons, but I was, like, Zuko.
And then Aang still has to be, like, good job.
Oh my god. He's like, you still think we can take them? I never said that.
Yeah, that was funny. I was like, you fucking bitch.
Like, shut up. Don't tell them I said that. Oh, and I even, as long as we're talking about that conversation, I had, like, this weird chills moment when he was giving his, you know, stupid little speech about being able to take the Masters. And he said, we're the Fire Prince and the Avatar. And I was like, oh man. Somehow, I was just thinking about, like, the Avatar and the Fire Lord episode with Roku and Sozin, and it was like, and now, you know, 4 generations later, I mean, Aang is technically the next Avatar, but
yeah,
it's like, here they are, parallels, fixing the problems of their ancestors.
You were a lot more graceful because I was just like, only one of those titles means something.
Like, Fire Prince means shit.
Yeah, I was just like, one of those was like, I mean, neither of them got to pick that, like, that was their, they were born into that role. But I was still just like, one of those roles comes with like actual earth given spirit world, like God given, like power and responsibility. The other one is just like, a, you know, monarchies are stupid, you know. That's how I feel, like, you know, where I'm like, it's just this, like, one family beat up another family at some point in history,
right? Plus, even like before the scene, Zuko, you were literally like, I'm Prince of the Fire Nation. Well, not anymore, but
he's like, technically
not.
Yeah. And like that, yeah, that makes me wonder, at what point did the Sun Warrior tribe, like, was the, you know, it's like, I'm not, you know, was the Fire Nation a bunch of different tribes, and then, or was this the original ones, and then people were deviating too far and they split off into two different groups, and then one became like Mexican and one became Japanese? Like, what's going on, guys? Like, so curious. What happened? But like, I'm half kidding.
I was hoping they'd spend more time with them. It's kind of like, wow, we did the dragon dancing and now we can fire bend and it's fine. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Truly rescued by the rainbow fire.
Yeah.
And this is definitely like, that is something I remember us talking about it in a previous episode, where it's just like, they definitely like speed run Aang's firebending teaching in that, like, this is like the only episode really where it's like blatantly addressed. And it's like, you can't really blame them, but yeah, it's still like, it leaves to be desired, especially like, yeah, they introduce this whole other culture, this like, these like really heavy concepts and themes and stuff that, yeah, are like worth exploring more.
I mean, it's similar to Bitter Work in that what this episode really centers on is learning a new way of thinking about firebending, like a new, kind of getting past that big mental block to the point where now he's ready to learn firebending. So then it's kind of implied in future episodes, he has to do all the learning, the forms and stuff, but he couldn't even do it because he had this whole block from his trauma of going too far with fire and burning Katara. And by the way, side note, I loved that shot of when Aang first actually confidently firebends in this episode. It looked like exactly like the shot when the last time he firebent, when he did it, and then it ended up burning Katara. I was like, yes!
Yeah.
But,
and, like, his face, he was so happy and, like, content.
Yeah, where, like, in Bitter Work, the entire episode centered around Aang getting over the mental block of figuring out how to even earthbend in the first place. And so this one was kind of the same way. He had to learn how to even firebend at all.
Yeah. And it's like, for me, it was interesting too, because, you know, like, air and earth are the diametrically opposed ones, and like water and fire are more like tangential. So it makes sense too that, like, you know, he picks up the forms fast, and it's probably more similar to like what he's used to. And even like the dance that they did didn't feel that far off from, you know, it's like, obviously it's a little more like rigid than something like Tai Chi, like water bending, but it's, and, you know, it was still less like cut and paste and like cut and dry is like earthbending.
Speaking of the dance, so the dragon dancing dragon form is very reminiscent of real life
oh no, you're gonna say it wrong because I already got all this.
I'm definitely gonna
Miko.
Say it wrong, and I apologize to Miko in advance. Longing Mokui.
Oh no, Miko.
Miko, say it right.
Say the martial art. Say it both. So in Mandarin, it's
in Mandarin is Long Xing Mo Chao.
And in Cantonese?
In Cantonese, it's Long Ying Mo Qiu.
Because he got confused, because I saw on like the Avatar wiki that it was like that Long Ying Mo Qiu, but it was like, you know, it was romanized, and he was like, what the fuck is that? Google it. And we were like looking, and he's like, oh, it's different in like both languages. And
So a lot of times when websites use pinyin as like the representation for Chinese characters, a lot of times they do it in Cantonese, which is confusing to read for me, who speaks majority of the time Mandarin. So looking at the pinyin, I wasn't sure exactly what it is until I see the character and realize that it was sort of translated in Cantonese.
Yeah, and yeah, it like loosely translates to dragon shape, and then the Wikipedia said rubbing bridges. And he was like, sure, like, it was like hard to translate that word. Like,
yeah, it's the third character that's the mo, that's the hardest to translate, because, yeah, the dragon form, that's correct, and the bridge is correct, the mo, like, I it's not rubbing. It's like that word is not reused for rubbing, but yeah. But it's, it has the same, there's a same character that has the same sound.
Mm. Anyway, thanks, Mina.
Thank you, Rico.
Yeah, translate, like, guest correspondent.
Pronunciation stuff. I'm gonna, like, tangent for a second, like, where I was joking earlier about, like, Ran and Sha for the dragons. Mm. And I, this one I actually, I listened to a person trying to say the Chinese word that their names were taken from, and I'm still gonna butcher it, but it sounded more like Jian Shaun, something like that.
Oh, I didn't even know. That makes sense. Ran and Sha were, like, their names are Chinese,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, like,
I
the word,
about that.
Like, it's spelled in when it's romanized, kind of like Ran Shao, one word, and pronounced like I just said.
Oh.
Jian Shaun, something like that. I know I'm being
terrible.
Yeah, I see. Which apparently translates to, like, you know, well, supposedly in the trivia, they said it translates to combustion. When I looked up the word, it was it was more like to kindle, like to burn, to set on fire. So it's sort of like, oh, rather than combustion, it's like, oh, light it ablaze, like meaningfully, you know, for what they do. Anyway, pronunciation. Anyway, the dance. So that is the traditional Southern dragon kung fu style. And something that I thought was actually pretty interesting about this is that I was thinking a lot more of Zuko than Aang, honestly, when I was reading about this style. But it starts out when you're like a novice learning how to do it. Your early initial training like focuses on it as a very sort of hard external style. You strike hard, you block hard, you rush into each position. And then eventually you sort of gain the physical strength and memorization of how you should be at the end of the poses to transition to a more proper, like, fluid movement. Mm. So then when you're more advanced and expert, you have this, like, dragon-like smoothness to your moves that helps you sort of disguise your attacks. It makes it difficult for your opponents to counter. You sort of stop blocking so much and you start just parrying. And then when you're at, like, the highest level of the style, then your opponent can just tire themselves out because you're just, like, evading everything in a more, like, sort of airbender fashion. So
that's so
I
cool.
was like, this is so funny because it mirrors Zuko's journey so much in this dancing dragon style. I was like, so I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Because then it's also, like, for Aang, it was this, like, foreign, scary thing that was so different. And then it's, like, the more comfortable he gets with it, the more it's, like, similar to what he knows. And then also just, like, the more a part of it, it becomes more a part of him. Stop it.
Yeah, exactly. It was so scary and hard and like, aggressive. And he was afraid of it because it seemed so violent. And then it was like, oh, it's actually just kind of, like, you get really fluid. And then it's about evasion, which is all his whole thing.
Yeah. And, like, dancing is life. Fire is life. Boom. There we go. So. Did you know that? Sun Warrior Chief? Did you know that?
Did you know
that fire
you guys understand
is this? Like a sun? Did you know that the sun is fire? I had no idea the sun was fire until now.
Did you guys know there were dragons up there? Like,
this was so crazy. You sent us up to meet some masters, but instead we found dragons. Isn't that awesome? Oh my god. As a side note, this is, like, not relevant to anything realistic at all, but I've seen a lot of people online and stuff talking about how they wish Zuko had rainbow fire after this episode, and I also wish that.
That would be cool, like a visual difference. But I guess they wouldn't be able to do that, because then it would, if, like, everybody got that, then it's, like, Iroh, like, he wouldn't be able to keep the secret or whatever.
It can just be Zuko. He can just be special.
No, bitch, no.
Fine.
If anything, Aang's maybe should have been special, but whatever, it's fine. He's already special. But, like, deservedly so.
Aang deserves to be special because he's the best kind of protagonist. Zuko, meanwhile, continues to be an angry little jerk bender.
Yeah, like, the best kind of, not antagonist turned protagonist, but whatever.
Yeah.
He's always, like, the one people go to with, like, redemption arcs.
Mm-hmm.
this episode's really like a big part of that too. Cause like last episode, it was like, you know, we were all like, yay, he's good. But it's like completely understand where the other characters are coming from. And then in this, it's like Abby earlier was just like, Zuko was a dick. And then it's like, oh yeah, but like, I still don't blame them. And I'm not saying you don't either, but it's just like, yeah, it's like he hasn't earned his keep quite yet. And like, obviously we'll keep seeing that with all the side quests.
Yeah, and especially Katara. Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like Sokka was mean in, like, a joking kind of way. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Where, like, Katara was just, like, mean. Like, yeah. She hates his guts, which, understandable. Right. Yeah.
I didn't like her jab, though, because it was kind of just, like, a fucking know-it-all. It's like, oh, well, if your form is 1,000 years old, what's the name of it? I'm like, get the fuck out of here. He can do it, but he doesn't have to name it. Like, it's not about the theory name. Yeah. He could just fucking do it. I was just triggered by it because it's like people just try to constantly one-up your skills by trying to throw random shit at you. It's like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, your degree doesn't mean shit if you can do it.
I also absolutely love that the guy was like, okay, you like, seriously, you can't tell anyone. Like, seriously, you can't tell anybody. Yes, and immediately they cut to like, the dragons taught us this really amazing form.
I didn't catch that. I was like, cut to them telling everyone. Like,
yeah. And it's not they just told the main like group, like the main gang. Like, the Duke was also there. Haru was also there. Like, everybody knows.
This is like, are you sure you want to sell Teo with like the way he and his dad like to like tinker with shit and like mess with stuff?
So close. Yeah.
Just like, Dad, I know where our next field trip is. Oh, like,
yeah, they'd want to learn so much about the booby traps and stuff.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of
like
that.
The engineering behind it.
So funny.
Oh, I have an animal fact by the way for the slime. So we saw the anteater sloths.
Oh,
of course, we're in Fire Nation, so it's just animal.
Okay.
So I thought they were licking them just to like remove the glue, and that's the case. So their saliva is specialized to be used to clean heavily adhesive substances from various surfaces. Okay. I was like, that's really
specific. I was like, all right. Yeah.
And there wasn't anything else about like if this is relevant in real life. So I don't know. It must just be some sort of weird
convenience
thing. I
guess it's just like a play on that, like, anteaters' tongues are sticky. So it's like they eat sticky stuff, I guess. But like, I don't, I guess. But I'm like, that's still like kind of, not a deep cut, but like, I don't know how much people know about anteaters that like didn't want to be zoologists when they were in fifth grade. So
I didn't know that about anteaters.
Yeah, that's because they stick their tongue in to like the, you know, it's long and narrow so they can get into the anthills or the termite mounds.
Right.
And then their tongues are just coated in an extra sticky substance. So then they just get stuck to it and they like pull it back and then there's just a bunch just all stuck on it.
Real insects.
Yeah.
Also in the wiki, it said aardvark sloth, also known as anteater sloth, but I didn't view aardvarks and anteaters as the same.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not.
So I don't know why.
They're like very not. They just,
they're very not. I guess they just can't decide what they're trying to do either.
Like, why throw that in there?
Yeah, that's they're not the same.
I thought of Arthur. A-A-R-D-V-A-R-K. Never forgot how to spell that. Anyway, conclusion
and
of
I
animal
said,
facts.
Hey, what a wonderful
kind of day
we can learn.
All right, I know we've gotta start wrapping up, so let's see. I will throw in that I liked the just yet another layer of symbolism and stuff when they were facing the dragons, and it was like, then they were scared that they were about to get, you know, eaten alive. And Zuko had the blue dragon and Aang had the red dragon. And it like paralleled Zuko's nightmare from back in season 2 in like the Earth King.
Right.
When the blue dragon was like Azula and it was like all his Fire Nation like responsibilities and stuff and telling him to just close your eyes to, you know, the reality around you and just let things go on as they are where you're on, you know, the bad guy side. And then the red dragon was like, had Iroh's voice, and that was the one that was supposed to be like, you know, do the right thing, fulfill your destiny, and that's kind of like the hardship Aang is facing down. So just, you know, levels.
Yeah, yes. For sure.
I also just want to say before we finish, I don't know if anybody was going to bring it up for their, like, favorite moments or whatever, but Baby Toph, that's it.
I like that moment. I really loved her explanation too, and also getting to just see little Baby Toph.
And Baby Toph was running away from home before she could even earthbend and see That's how crappy her home
didn't
was.
Didn't give a fuck. Yeah.
No. And she was very insightful this episode.
Yeah.
You know, given yes. the good advice.
And that was a vulnerable moment that wasn't laced yeah. with her usual sarcasm.
Yeah.
She yes. was like, given all my personal experience with bending in a way other than the way everyone else bends, I'm just gonna tell you, if you want me to fix this and not rely on fear and anger anymore, then clearly what you should do is figure out how firebending actually started. Duh. You're welcome. Mm. I will not be returning anything I stole from you. Like, I liked her immediate defensiveness, by the way. Zuko was like, I've lost my stuff. And Toph was like, don't look at me. I didn't touch it. And I was like, immediate instinctive denial.
She just is known for her life of crime.
Yeah.
A little bit. A little joking, a little not joking.
Just keeping up her reputation as the runaway.
Yeah.
All right. So, anything else?
Nope.
Okay. I don't believe that honor was said in this episode.
Nope.
Keep it at 11. See if we can fulfill Jen's prediction. I don't know about MVP. My anti-MVP is Zuko because he insulted Appa.
Word.
My MVP is Zuko. I think he did a great job.
I think that's fair, though. As much as I was very mad at him, true. Like, calling Appa a thing.
Zuko did a lot of good things. I liked his whole, you know, I don't want to rely on fear and hate anymore. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Character development.
Yeah.
Mine was Aang.
Mine is not Aang.
It's Aang. And then also, you know, again, this has been, like, the thing that, like, comes up with him. Like, he's brought this up so many times, his, like, aversion to firebending.
Right.
And I think there is an argument that maybe it was, like, fixed, like, you know, like, again, this episode is, like, very, like, it's a one and done kind of thing. But, like, I don't know, it's still a big moment for him. And I'm going to take that as an excuse to give him the MVP.
My MVPs were Ran and Shaw.
Fair.
Because I was like, one, they like solved the problem. Two, they didn't.
True.
They didn't roast Aang and Zuko. So like, you know.
Literally.
Oh.
Yes. So much to be thankful for.
Yeah.
That was. My MVP was also not Han Gao. That bloodthirsty sun warrior. He just really wanted them to die. And he was rude about
it. Yeah, honestly.
I think I'd want them to die too.
Yeah, like, to be honest. You don't know anything about what actually has been happening. So I understand why he would too.
Yeah. It was funny the way, like, the chief immediately took them down. He's just like, well, your family sucks and, like, you disappeared. So, like, fuck you both. Like,
Aang was like, well, I'm used to people judging Zuko, but not me. I'm the Avatar.
Favorite quote or moment?
Lots of quotes in this episode that I remembered for like 10 years. So,
yeah,
you know, like the one I said about the joke about Zuko actually being smart. But also just like Aang's little when he takes the fire and he's like, it's like a little heartbeat. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cute. My favorite quote was Aang says, like the monk said, like sometimes the shadows of the past can be felt by the present.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was like, oof.
Yeah.
Oof, oof, oof. So like that, mm-hmm. that killed me a little bit because it's like, you know, it's kind of obvious, but like, it's just like worded so,
right.
so nice and accessibly.
It felt almost like haunting to me because of the part where, like what I said earlier about, you know, Fire Nation killing all the bison was that right before he said that, they had been sort of zooming out to show like the destroyed mural of bison on the wall while Aang was talking about the original airbenders being mm-hmm. bison. And then they kind of tried to cut it with a little humor of Aang being like, Appa, maybe you could teach me. But I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my like serious favorite quote. My like LOL favorite moment was when Sokka suggested that Zuko jump into a volcano.
Yes. And I liked how he repeated it. He was like, is it jumping into a volcano? And then Toph was like, I'm being serious. And Sokka was like, so seriously, is it jumping into a volcano?
Oh my god.
For me, aesthetically, it was the dragon like the actual dance mm-hmm. of dragons.
Oh yes.
That was beautiful.
And then like event or theme was Zuko encouraging Aang. I think it means a lot more coming from Zuko with the confidence that Zuko sees in Aang mm-hmm. to do it. I think it meant a lot more to encourage him just because he was his Sifu, right? So I think that kind of helped get Aang mm-hmm. pushed to the limit a little bit. Oh my god, I quoted the limit. But I really like those moments that they had together.
I also feel like it was significant that he said, like, I know you can do it, you're a talented kid, and not, I know you can do it, you're the Avatar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a big difference.
Yeah, that's so true.
I love their friendship. It's a baby friendship, but...
And we only get to see so much of it, but, like, you cherish every little bit you can get.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Nicole, we're done.
I'm like, all right, so... Nicole.
She was cherishing the moment.
That's what she was also for just hesitating for a second. Just, like, anyone gonna add anything? No? Not even
I appreciate something stupid
about, like, I don't know, the magic escalator the Sun Warriors all took to beat Aang and Zuko up the mountain. All right.
Oh my god, that's funny.
Okay, that's it. This has been Pod Sing Se, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast. Thank you for listening. Join us again next week when we will be discussing Book 3, Chapter 14, The Boiling Rock, Part 1. If you enjoyed Pod Sing Se, please rate and subscribe to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Until next time.